In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. When given a choice of having an orchard full of good trees that bear good fruit, or an orchard full of bad trees that bear bad fruit, we are all going to choose that orchard with good trees, bearing good fruit. So this morning, we're going to look at how we can actually make this choice a reality, how we can actually cultivate that orchard full of beautiful, good, fruitful trees. The Lord's second law of divine providence explains how we can do this. When the Lord's second law of divine providence is expressed in us, we will be able to cultivate that beautiful orchard. But of course, we can't do it on our own. In divine providence, we read, "It is a law of divine providence that man should, as if from himself, put away evils as sins in the external man. And the Lord is able, in this way and no other way, to put away evils in the internal man and simultaneously in the external." We have to work together with the Lord. It is up to us to remove evils from our conscious life as of ourselves. It is up to us to prune our trees and cut down the ones that bear bad fruit. But the Lord can pull up the roots, making room for more and more fruitful trees to grow. Now, pruning trees and cutting down the ones that bear bad fruit can be hard work. First, we have to keep an eye on what's growing, continually observing the trees in our orchard, identifying where the pruning is needed, feeding the orchard with proper fertilizer, and then removing anything that doesn't belong there. Putting away evils as sins in the external man works in a corresponding way. Like the farmer of the orchard inspecting the trees, we have an interior thought process which can observe what's going on in our exterior thought. Just as the farmer can identify the dead branches and prune them, or identify an invasive species and remove it, we can reflect on what appears in our own minds and pass judgment on it, deciding whether it is good or evil, whether it is true or false, and whether or not we want to keep it or get rid of it. This ability not to be controlled by our passions and instincts, but rather to control them, is what makes us human. We can regulate our externals. For example, we can remember a conversation that we've had, how we initiated the conversation or responded, what the other person said, and what our tone of voice was, and even our facial expressions. We can reflect on whether our words and manner were fruitful. Were they really helpful to that other person we were talking to? We can also reflect on why we said what we said in this conversation. Was it truly from love toward the neighbor? Was the conversation motivated by love for the person we were talking to? Were any comments we made about other people in the conversation motivated by a love for those people? If in our judgment, our words and motives were not all that they should have been, we can make amends if necessary, and we can take steps to cut down such behavior, pruning the unproductive branch and throwing it into the burn pile. In this way, little by little, we can change our habits and attitudes and improve our spiritual orchard as of ourselves. This is putting away evils as sins in the external man, as we read in the second law of divine providence. Fruitful trees come from trusting the Lord and doing what he says. As we read in the very first psalm, "Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahuwah. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be as a tree planted by the streams of waters that gives its fruit in its time, and its leaf does not fade, and all that he does shall prosper. Now, when we think of a single tree in the orchard, spiritually speaking, the roots in the trunk of the tree are the strongest, inmost love that rules our life. Mostly we do not see what our ruling love is. It's like it is underground. But we get clues from the more visible parts of our life, which are like the branches, leaves, and fruits. The branches grow out of the trunk of a tree like the particular affections that come from our life's love. Many branches grow from the trunk of a tree just like the many affections we have come from our ruling love. Affections are all the things we like, all the things that affect us, that touch us, that move us. Affections range from the affection of truth and good in a general way to affections for specific truths and goods, all the way to affections for particular people and particular things. Just as branches reach out to the sun with their leaves, our affections reach up into our thoughts and take in truths which then feed our affections. For example, if we have an affection for history, perhaps especially to see the signs of providence guiding mankind, we eagerly learn all sorts of information about the aspects of history that we are particularly interested in, and we can begin to see the hand of providence on each page of any book recording an historical event. If we like to know how machines work and seek to understand their purpose, we see every new mechanical device as an opportunity for discovery. If we have an affection for children, and especially their innocence, every little one we meet can teach us about heaven. These are the examples of how branches and their leaves can feed the tree. Now, the fruits of a tree are the delights of our affections as we have the chance to fulfill them. Our fruits are in the application of the knowledge and skills we have gained to do something useful to help our neighbors. An affection for history can lead a person to help others understand providence and see the presence of the Lord in hindsight. An affection for mechanics can lead a person to build ever more useful machines. And an affection for little ones can lead a person to be a parent, a teacher, or maybe even a pediatrician. These are the fruits of good trees. The fruits which come from branches and leaves of good affections, which in turn come from the trunk of a good ruling love. But in order for that tree trunk, that good ruling love, to continue to grow branches with healthy leaves and good edible fruit, the bad trees must not choke it out. And we cannot get rid of bad trees, unhealthy lusts and pursuits, unless we completely remove them. Otherwise, they will keep coming back. They will keep growing back up. If we give ourselves permission to indulge bad affections, even if only in private, those affections will keep growing and spreading until the tree in the orchard dies and bad ones grow up in its place. For example, we read in Divine Providence, "The more a thief steals, the more he lusts to steal, till at length he cannot desist. It is the same with hatred and revenge, with extravagant luxury and intemperance, with adultery and blasphemy." But in another passage, we learn that the battle to get rid of evil lusts is not grievous, except with those who have relaxed all restraints on their lusts and deliberately indulged them, and also for those who have confirmed themselves in rejecting the holy things of the Word and the Church. For others, however, the Lord teaches us in the doctrine of life, it is not grievous. Let them resist evils in intention, only once a week, or twice in a month, and they will perceive a change. We just need to keep pruning and weeding once a week or twice in a month. Now, there is a wide variety of edible, useful fruits, and as stewards of the Lord's orchards, we have the responsibility to oversee what is growing within us, taking care of the parts of the orchard we can see, so the Lord can take care of the part we don't see. When we take action for the Lord's sake against a certain evil that we found in our life, then the Lord can begin to pull up the roots, the lusts that cause bad thoughts, intentions, and behavior. Divine providence says the Lord then purifies man from the lusts in the internal man and from the evils themselves in the external man. For the evils themselves and the lusts of evil are united like the roots and trunk of a tree. When we do our part and prune even just one branch or remove one evil, the Lord removes the whole infinity of things involved in it that we don't see. All the justifications, related lusts, and even associations with evil spirits who love those evils. The Lord removes them all if we do our part. And the Lord will do this every time, but only if we ask Him to, as of ourselves. It is a law of divine providence that man should, as if from himself, remove evils in the external man. And the Lord is able in this way and in no other to remove evils in the internal man and simultaneously in the external. In response to this law, we can examine our thoughts, intentions, and habits. We can then prune certain habits and cut down and remove others. We can pray to the Lord for direction and help, as good stewards consulting the owner of the orchard. This is the chief way we exercise our gift of freedom and rationality, the very first law of divine providence. We read in divine providence, when the Lord has implanted a heavenly life's love in place of the infernal one, then affections of good and truth are planted there in its place, in place of the lusts of evil and falsity, and the delights of affections of good and truth are planted there in place of the evils and infernal love. Then also prudence is planted instead of cunning, and thoughts of wisdom in place of thoughts of malice. Thus man is born again and becomes a new man. Blessed is the man who trusts in Yahuwah, and Yahuwah is his trust. And he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, which sends out his roots by the rivers. And he shall not see when heat comes, but his leaf shall be green. And in the year of drought, he shall not be anxious, and he shall not withdraw from making fruit. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.